Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. We'll read verses 38 through 44 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. John, chapter 8, verses 38 through 44. John chapter 8, verses 38 through 44. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? And let's finish on verse 44 together. Ready? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Lord, thank you for a place called heaven. Yet, thank you for a place here on earth that I believe is heaven on earth, our church. And Father, thank you for our preacher, for his stand, for the truth, the teaching of the Word of God, and most of all, his time with you that he shares with us. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your powers, we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to ask that we all sit still now. Very kindly, I would ask that we not interrupt the service. Now, if you have a dire emergency, I will understand that. But just casually getting up and walking around during the service will distract people. It will distract me. And so, please, if you will, I want you to settle in. I want you to sit still. I want you to understand, though you would not intend to do it, the devil would like to use your distraction to distract the working of God. And we don't want that to happen, and I know you don't want that to happen either. We have a liar around our church. And this morning I'm going to tell you who it is. I want to warn you. I want to warn you so that they won't hurt you like they have hurt me. I want to warn you about who it is because I would not want them to hurt anyone. A few months ago, a person in our church had done something that they should not have done. I approached them about it, and they had hurt someone, or I probably wouldn't have even approached them, and I knew 100% sure what they had done. I had no doubt about it. I had the facts. It was sure. And I wanted to help them, and I wanted to warn them of the result of that wrongdoing. So I very kindly approached them about the misbehavior. And after I approached them, they lied to me. They denied the fact that they had done what they say or what I had said they had done. Well, but I knew they had done it. I'll be honest with you. My heart sunk. I cannot tell you how rare it is that someone actually lies to me when I'm their pastor. My heart sunk. I felt like a gutted deer. I felt so empty inside. It hurt. It hurt. It hurt at the thought that someone that I would love and someone that I would help and someone that I would not hurt would actually lie to me. And I don't mean a little misconception here. I'm talking about a flat-out, intentional deception. It hurt me. They thought that they had actually fooled me. I walked away, realizing that that person had just straight to my face lied to me. There's a liar in the church. The Bible says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now y'all need to relax. Pretty good tool to get people's attention, isn't it? I don't call names from the pulpit. The liar I want to talk to you about is worse than that one. Because you see, Satan is the liar. Although that incident truly took place, but it is Satan that is the liar. He is the father of all lies. Hey, and whatever you do, don't let him use you to be a liar to others. You don't have to lie to me about anything. If you do wrong or something comes up, I'll work with you. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace around here. You shouldn't lie. And not because I'm the pastor. You just should never lie to your pastor. I mean, you're getting pretty low when you go to lying to the preacher about things. But Satan has hurt many people through his deception. Historically, he has lied and deceived many unto their destruction. You just take the story all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when the Lord had placed there that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had said to Adam and Eve, I do not want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan comes along to Eve, and Satan says, God's not telling you the truth. God had said, now by the way, you remember this, God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day thou shalt surely die. That's what God had said. Well, Satan comes along to tempt Eve and says, God's not telling you how it is. And Satan actually says to Eve, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not die. You okay? Hate to interrupt you while you're blowing your nose like that. Wait, listen. Satan actually tells a bold-faced lie to Eve. But here's what's terrible. She listened to the lie. She listened to that lie. And as a result of it, the human race collapsed spiritually. And you and I have been paying the price ever since. Because of one lie, and one lie believed. One lie, and one lie that was believed. All the grief that mankind has suffered since that day can be traced back to Eve believing a bold-faced lie that Satan presented to her. Listen to me, folks. Satan lies to lost man. Many a lost man's gone to hell because of it. Satan lies to the weak and hurts the weak. But yet Satan lies to the strong and hurts the strong. Satan is... He lies to the educated, then he lies to the uneducated. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are, he lies to you. You say, well, I'm pretty smart. I'm going to tell you, you're dealing with a smart liar. Satan is a very, very good liar. Satan is the master of deception. Satan is the champion liar. Satan is the gold medalist of deception. Satan is the best liar ever. He is the father of lies. His lies are believable. I mean, do you understand that? His lies are believable. They are believable, but they are eternally destructive. One lie, and one lie believed, all of mankind has suffered to date. And until Jesus Christ comes back, man will continue to suffer over that one lie. And that one lie believed. You know what I'd like to share with you today? I'd like to tell you some of his best ones. He's got some lies that he uses more often than others. And I'll tell you what, he's so good at it, he can tell you this lie, you could catch on to it today, and 6 months he'll tell it to you again, and he'll have you convinced of it again. He's slick. I mean, he is a professional. He's the best. He's at the top of the corporate ladder of being a liar. For instance, number one, this liar will tell you that you cannot conquer the sin in your life. This liar, this champion liar, the liar that's around the church, he will tell you that you cannot conquer the sin in your life. But he's a liar, folks. He's a liar. Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Listen, you are a conqueror if you're born again. Now, you're not going to conquer your sin all by yourself. That's why when you got saved, God put the person of the Holy Spirit inside you who could then lead you to an understanding of the Word of God. You will not conquer your sin by yourself. But God said, if you're saved, you are a conqueror. And Satan, he's a liar about that. But wait, it says more than that. It says here in Romans 8:37 that you are more than conquerors. Oh, thank God, it's not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Hey, the devil comes along and he says to you, you can't overcome that sin. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. He said, well, what should I believe? Believe God. And God said, you are a conqueror. You are a conqueror. He said, but Brother Owens, I'm weak. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. He said, well, Brother Owens, what am I? I'm a conqueror. You're a conqueror. You're supposed to be a conqueror. You can conquer that sin in your life. He tells you that that sin's just too much for you. Some of you listened to him, haven't you? You threw in the towel. You were trying to overcome that particular sin. You tried and you failed and you tried and you failed and you tried and you failed. And finally you said, it's just too much for me. Nobody really understands how hard that particular sin is for me to overcome. I give in. I'm giving out. Let me tell you something. The devil's a liar. The devil says you can't. I say you can. The devil says you won't. I say you will. The devil's a liar. I'm tired of him lying around here. I'm tired of him convincing people that they can't give up the sin that's in their lives. He tells you that you're different than everybody else. That's why you can't conquer that sin. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's telling you something that's not true. You can conquer the sin that's in your life. He tells you you're too weak. He's a liar. He tells you that God helps others but not you. He's a liar. God helps me to conquer sin in my life. God helps you to conquer sin in your life. Hey, God will help you to conquer that sin. Some of you have given up and you've said, okay, I'll just roll over and play dead. I'm never going to get this. Wait, why don't you roll back over and come alive again and realize something? God wants you to conquer that sin, and it is the lie of the devil that makes you believe you're not going to get it. He tells you that you just can't be a good Christian. Now, for some of you, you're saying, Brother Owens, he's not told me that lately. I promise you, there are people in this room this morning. And this week, the devil's come to them and worked on them mentally, and they've been saying, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can be a good Christian. I don't think I can get that sin out of my life. Some are giving up. He tells you that your sin's not so bad, so just go ahead and live in that sin. He's a liar. He comes to you and says, you know what? There are others in the church that are committing that sin. It must not be so bad. He's a liar. He's a liar. If there are others in the church doing it, they ought to stop it too. He's a liar. You see, this liar will tell you that you cannot conquer the sin that is in your life. Now, none of us are going to get ourselves perfectly cleaned up, but there's a lot of sin going on that can be fixed. And don't you let the devil lie you or psych you into believing that you can't, because you can. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. Some of you, I wish you'd grab a hold of this morning and say, you know what? I'm going to try again.
I'm going to try again. I'm going to give it another poke. I'm going to not believe the lie of the devil. I'm going to believe my God. I can. I can through Jesus Christ. He's a liar. See, we've got a liar around the church. He'll just flat out lie to you. And he's so good at it. He makes you believe it. He makes you believe it. There are some of you, you've been living in the misery of some of your sin, and you just gave up. The devil actually came and deceived you into believing. You can't get it. You're not going to make it. You can't take it. But yes, you can. Shake it off. Shake that off and say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to him on that. Some of you ought to be glad that you came to church this morning so you could be reminded that you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. But secondly, this liar will tell you that your past is so bad that God can't use you. He's good at this. I am telling you what I find is the most frequent lies that the devil tells to God's people. You see, he'll come and say to you, your past is so bad that God can't use you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He'll lie to you, and he'll say to you, you were so bad in your past. God could never use you. And I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. And let me tell you something. You say, he's really been working on me about that, Brother Owens. Well, there must be a reason, huh? If the devil's really working on you, why would the devil come and work on you if God didn't want to use you? You see how tricky he is? There's some of you, you're saying, well, I mean, the devil's always dogging me about this. He's always tormenting me about my past. There must be a reason why. He must know your potential. He must know that God has some wonderful things in store for you. Don't you let him lie to you. Don't you let him convince you. You can't be used of God. The Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Satan wants to intimidate us with our past. You ever have any of those satanic flashbacks? Really, think about it. I mean, just out of the loop, bang, and you go, oh, I don't want to be reminded of that. Satan knows that. Satan knows he's trying to stop you. He's trying to slow you down. And I say to you again, if you are constantly in a battle about your past, it's because you have a wonderful present and a marvelous future, and the devil knows it. And he's trying to keep you from going forward and doing something for God. He's a liar! He's a liar! If you're alive this morning, God has something for you to do, and the devil's going to try to lie to you and tell you, your past is so bad, you can't do it. And I'm talking about your past last week, or your past last year, or your past 10 years ago. God wants to use you. Satan psychs us out about our past. He deceives you to believing that you're unusable. Do you know that in Moses' past, he murdered a man? God's still using to lead millions of people. Did you know that in the Apostle Paul's past, he was a persecutor of Christians and actually stood by while Christians were killed for their faith? Now you tell me, do you think there's a possibility while the Apostle Paul was traveling all over the country after having gotten saved, don't you think there were moments when he looked back at the past and seen what he had done and how he had behaved, that the devil didn't come to him and say, Paul, God's not going to use you. These very people you're preaching to today, you used to stand by while they were massacred and murdered in the past. But Paul said, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar, devil. You're a liar. You're trying to hold my past against me. And I think Paul very humbly said, no, my past was not good. And yes, I sinned in my past. And yes, I let my God down in my past. And yes, I let myself down in my past. But I also know this. God's not holding that past against me. God wants to use me. Elijah was suicidal, but God still used him. That was in his past. Noah got drunk, but God used him because it was in his past. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, but God used him because that was in his past, you see. Peter denied Christ. Do you know something? Can you imagine the night before Pentecost, what Peter must have been thinking? You see, the Apostle Peter followed Jesus while Jesus was on his way to the crucifixion, but he followed him afar off. Jesus was going to be crucified. The Apostle Peter, he wasn't getting right up near where Jesus was, and Peter finds himself warming his hands around what we traditionally call the devil's fire. While Peter was standing there, someone said, "Hey, Peter, are you not with Christ?" And Peter said, "I'm not." He denies that he was with Christ. He lies about being with Christ. And then he curses and he storms away. Many, many weeks later, you find out after Jesus is gone, here's what happens. God is wanting to have a phenomenal day called the Day of Pentecost, where there would be 3,000 people saved. The night before Pentecost, they picked who the preacher was going to be for the Day of Pentecost. His name was Peter. Because Peter, since the time that he denied and he lied and he cussed, had gotten right with God. The night before, Peter was saying his prayers, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Right before he laid his head on his shoulder, on his pillow to go to bed, knowing the next morning was going to be the biggest day in the history of the New Testament church, the devil came to Peter and said, "You can't do it tomorrow. You cusser. You liar. You denier, Peter. You can't pull it off tomorrow, Peter. You're a dirtball. You're a scumbag. You're not going to have revival tomorrow. There's not going to be thousands saved tomorrow." I just about imagine there was a spiritual warfare going on in the mind of Peter when Peter was wondering, "Oh, what I've got to do tomorrow. I've got to have the power of God on my life, the blessing of God on my life." And the devil's there raking him over the coal saying, "You can't, you can't, you can't. Your past is bad, Peter." And I think Peter probably said to the devil, "Okay, you're right. I cussed. Okay, you're right. I denied. Okay, you're right. I lied. But I also ask God to forgive me, and he did. And I'm getting up tomorrow morning. I'm going down there and I'm preaching." And he did. And 3,000 people got saved because Peter did not believe the lie of the devil that said, "You can't do this." He said, "Yes, I can. With God's help, I can. But your past is too bad." And Peter said, "Hey, my past may be bad, but my record's clear with Jesus." Huh. Jonah ran from God. Rahab is called Rahab the harlot. Satan lies to you about getting that forgiveness. Then he tries to dangle the sins of your past in your eyes and try to keep you down. Thirdly, this liar, first of all, he'll tell you you cannot conquer the sin in your life. Secondly, this liar will tell you that your past is so bad that God can't use you. Thirdly, this liar will tell you that when you backslide, you should run from the preacher and from the church. The liar says, when you backslide, when you commit a sin that catches you off guard, when you commit that sin that you call a big one, just so you know, God calls them all big ones. But when you commit a sin, it seems to be in your thinking, a bigger one, a more embarrassing one, a more devastating one, the devil comes along and says, "Run. Now run. You did wrong. Run. Run from the church. Run from your Sunday school class. Run from the preacher." Listen to me, folks. The devil's a liar. This is what he does. When we fall and when we stumble, the devil's right there to say, "Run. Run fast. Run away. Run away from the embarrassment. Run away from the church. Run away from the preacher. Run away from Sunday school. Run, 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 run." And some of you, he gets you so hyped up, you take off. Can I tell you something? Backsliders should run to the church, not from it. Injured people run to the hospital, not away from it. Backsliders should run to the preacher, not from the preacher. You know, injured people run to the doctor, not from the doctor. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 22, there's a story of a woman that had a son. Her son had died. Life had become very difficult for her, but she knew what she needed to do. You listen to this. 2 Kings 4:22 it says, and she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God. She said, things are going well. Things are not going well. And the devil said, run, run, run. She said, I think I will. She said, but I'm running to the man of God, not from the man of God. When sin is there, the devil, he comes and he tries to spook you. He tries to get you to run and run off crazy. He's trying to get you to go off the deep end. He's trying to get you to get further and further and further and further away from God. There's some of you, one of the biggest mistakes you're making right now is you're not right with God. You've fallen into some type of a sin and you're running from me. I'll do nothing but help you. I'm your friend. He said, Brother Owens, you don't understand what I've done. I don't have to. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a doctor. When I'm in the emergency room, if somebody's spiritually bleeding, I'm not worried about what caused the cut. I'm worried about sewing them up. I'm worried about salvaging their life. I'm worried about making sure no infection sets in. Now I'll instruct you and help you not to get hurt again, but I'm telling you, don't run from the doctor when you're sick. Don't run from the hospital when you're sick. But that's the way the devil is. We get into a mess and we think, okay, I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run. Everybody sins. Listen to this. Let me tell you the difference in the people in this room and the people that are not in this room that should be right now. Everybody in this room falls. Everyone. Everybody in this room falls. Every one of us sin. There's some of us that have the good sense that when we fall, we run to church and we run to the man of God. And the ones that are not here today ran from. It's the only difference. The difference is not a fall. The difference is the response to the fall. We all stumble. You say, well, I've never done thus and so. Well, get ready, buddy. You might be next. Because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Any of us are capable of anything that any other human being could do. Any of us, if it were not for the mercy and the grace of a loving God, we would all be in a mess. But let me tell you this. Hey, the ones that are not here today, when they fell, they ran away. Hey, the ones that are here today, when they fell, they said, I'm not running away from God. I'm running to God. I'm not running away from the church. I'm running to the church. I'm not running away from the preacher. I'm running to the preacher. That's the way you survive. Don't run from God. Run to God. But the devil, you fall, and the devil says, go. He tries to spook you. Run! 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 Run hard! Run fast! Run! Just turn right around, run right back into the arms of Jesus. This liar, he's good. He's good. This liar comes to so many Christians, he lies to them and tells them that they can't afford to tithe. He's a liar. If God commands us to do so, that means we can do it. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10 teaches it. The tithe. It's called the first fruits. God gets His before taxes and before payroll deductions and everything. The devil says, you can't afford to do it. God says, you can't afford not to do it. And I wish I had time to park there. I do not. You know the most important person on the face of this earth to have a good financial standing with? It's not the person who is figuring up your earthly credit score. It's God. It's God. It's God. If I were you, I'd stay right with the one who gives you everything you have. Didn't that make sense? Stay right financially with the one who gives you 100% of every penny you have. It's more important to us to stay right financially with people that have given us nothing than it is to stay right financially with the one who gave us everything. Devil's a liar. He is a liar. He'll lie to you and say, you can't afford to tithe. And God says, you can't afford not to. The devil's a liar. Get this. Here's one of his good ones. The liar will tell you that the hypocrites in the church justify your unfaithfulness. The hypocrites in the church justify your unfaithfulness. He's a liar. He's a liar. So many people say, well, I don't come to church because of the hypocrites. That's the devil's deception. That's the devil's deception. So many say, I don't serve God because of the hypocrites. The devil's lying to you, and then you're in turn turning around and lying to yourself. Well, it's them hypocrites. It's not them hypocrites. You can blame them all you want, but it is not the hypocrite that's keeping you from doing right. It's you that's keeping you from doing right. The devil wants you to justify in your mind that it's somebody else's fault that you don't do right. Listen to this verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 42, it says this. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Basically, it's saying, fellow looks over and says, you know what? You got a little splinter hanging out of your eye. You got a little toothpick hanging out of your eye. And God said, you know what? Before you go pointing out the toothpick that everybody has hanging out of their eye, you better stop and look at the beam, the two before, that's hanging out of your eye. Right. You look over and say, you know what? I seen a toothpick of hypocrisy sticking out of the eye of one of the church staff members. That's faith. That justifies. I'm going to live the way I want to live because of that. Well, buddy, you better stop and take a good old look. You've got a two before hanging out of your eye. Some of you don't realize it. Wouldn't it be something if we could spiritually see what God teaches us we're like? What, how many of you be walking around right now going, oh, I got a two before, oh! Two before hanging out of the eye. A two before. God said you're busy looking at everybody else's toothpick and you're guilty of a two before. Blame everybody else. It's got to be somebody's fault that you're not right with God. Got to be Martinsburg Christian Academy's fault, right? Can't be yours. It's got to be this church's fault from 20 years ago, right? Can't be your fault. Got to be some preacher's fault. But God knows it surely can't be your fault. We're so busy looking at everybody else and wanting to blame them. Won't you look inside? Look inside. Hey, you're concerned that somebody is not real in the church. So you won't serve God because of the phony Christian. Well, why did you choose to not serve God because of the phony Christian? Why didn't you choose to serve God and show us how it's done? Why was your choice not to serve God? Why wasn't it to serve God and show us how not to be a hypocrite? Evidently, you didn't want to serve God. You were looking for an excuse. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that really simple? There's a hypocrite. I have two choices. I won't serve God because of them, or I will serve God because of them and show everybody what a real Christian's like. My choice, I won't serve God. And your choice does not hold water in spiritual logic. You are not looking for reality. Because if you were looking for real Christianity, you would have stepped up and produced it. You were looking for escape from living right.
Oh, isn't the devil slick?
Whew. He's
a liar. He's the Olympic gold medalist. He holds the world's record in lying. He knows what he's doing. That liar tells us that it's the hypocrites that keep us from being faithful. It's the hypocrites that keep us from being what we're supposed to be. Let me say this, number six. Hey, that same liar will come to you and tell you, as long as you come to church on Sunday morning, that's enough. As long as you come to church on Sunday morning, that's enough. Let me tell you something, folks. We need all the services. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. As a manner of some is. As a manner of some is. Bible said there'd be people like that. We need church. We need church on Sunday morning. We need church on Sunday night. We need church on Wednesday night. If you don't believe it, just take a good look at your life and tell me if you don't need more church. Best Christians we have here are in church three times a week. I think that's true, isn't it? You say, I want to be a better Christian. Come around and get a little more Christian energy. We give it out on Sunday night too. We give it out on Wednesday night too. There's more to serving God than sitting in a pew one time a week. Well, how would you feel? How would you feel if we drove by and seen a police officer sitting in his car, playing with the siren? And an hour later, we drove by and he's still sitting in his car playing with the siren. Next day, there's the same police officer sitting in the car playing with the siren. I'd go up and say, hey, buddy, what are you doing? He said, I'm serving on the police force. I said, well, did you ever arrest anybody? No. Did you ever drive this car and chase after any criminals? No. Well, what are you doing? Well, I just sat here. Make some noise every once in a while, play with siren. What are you doing? Well, I'm serving my community. You know what I think? I think he's just sitting in the car. Hey, Christian. What have you been doing around the church? I've been sitting here in this pew. I sing every once in a while, make a little noise. I pray every once. Sometimes I even say amen. You keeping anybody out of hell? Well, no, but I'm serving my church by sitting in the pew. Wonder if there was a fireman. We went by the firehouse. He was sliding up and down the pole. Sounds like fun to me. Hey, what you doing? Sliding up and down this pole. This is just fun. So what weren't you doing that yesterday? Yeah, I was doing it yesterday. What are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to slide up and down this pole. What are you doing? I'm serving my community. You'd say, Brother Owens, that guy, he's not fighting any fires. He's not accomplishing anything. You know what? Some of you think just because you slide in, slide out of church, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Just sliding in, sliding out. Show up. Tip us with your nickel in the plate. Just so you know, we're in there's inflation going on, so up that to a dime, will you?
Double your sacrificial giving.
If a military man, if you walked up and seen a military man standing and saluting the flag, my flags are standing and saluting the flag, just standing there, saluting that flag, just standing there, standing at attention, looking like they're part of the military. You know something, if war broke out, and everybody else was going to battle, and they were just standing there saluting, I don't think they'd really be much good to us. So you come to church, you stand around, you try to make yourself look as much like a Christian as you can, but are you in the battle? Sitting in the pew is not all you're supposed to do. Sliding in and sliding out is not all you're supposed to do. Standing around the church, that's not all you're supposed to do. There's more to that. But the devil comes along and the devil says, you know something? As long as you slide in, slide out, that's enough. As long as you come and sit down in the pew for a little while, that's enough. You know what? As long as you go by and you stand around the church every once in a while, that's enough. I'm sorry, that's a lie of the devil. That's not enough. It's not enough. This liar will tell you that the preaching of certain truths is for somebody else, not you. It's virtually a devastating thing to a preacher to know that someone needs a truth, but they're the only one in the auditorium that doesn't get it. Wow. How does the devil pull that off? It is amazing to me how many times, you know, like a mathematical joke goes right over a blonde's head. It's amazing to me how many times a truth that an individual needs goes right over their head. They didn't even recognize. I can stand up here and throw a fit about your choice of friends. Some of the most sincere people that are running with some of the best people question themselves. I'm thinking, Lord, I wasn't talking about you. And then you, it bounces off you like water off a duck's back. Some of you run with rotten friends. It's almost hard for me to say again. Because I wonder why I'm saying it. Because you aren't paying a lick attention. It couldn't be you. It's got to be somebody else, doesn't it? Speaking and listening to gossip. Somebody else, isn't it? It's somebody else. I think, Brother Paul, the hardest thing I do as a preacher is continually preach the same truths, trying to get through to people. Wondering, are they going to listen? Now, he's a liar, right? What would his ultimate goal be about a truth that you need to get you to believe that truth is not for you? Negative attitude. It's funny. The people with the most negative attitude are usually the last ones to figure out it's them. Everybody sidestepping, fearful, don't want to be around, trying to figure out how not to offend you with your bad attitude. You know something? I can get up and preach about people taking seriously their duties for Christ in the church. The people that are taking their duties seriously take them more seriously. And the ones that needed it the most, they didn't even think it was for them. Tell me, you ought to be on time for your Sunday school class, or show up at the bus captain's meeting, or just do your commitment. You got these people who are already on time, showing up, doing their thing, and they become even more intense, and then you got the one that says, I didn't hear a thing. This liar, what's he do? His goal is to snatch from your mind the truth you need. So here's something you might want to do. This is from a friend. I'm your friend. I love you. I'm not on the devil's side. Check my credentials. I'm on your team.
Yes, sir.
Here's what you might want to do. When there's a truth coming across the pulpit, rather than assuming it's not for you, maybe you better check into that. Maybe you ought to come to the altar and just say, Lord, is it me? Or are you not willing to even take a chance? Lord, could it possibly be me? You know, if some people give me that window of opportunity and say, preacher, could it possibly be me? I mean, with a good, decent, wholesome attitude, I could help you. And most say, not me! Not me! I'm not the troublemaker! Some just won't give even the Lord that little window of opportunity. But what are we dealing with? The lie of the devil. This liar will tell you that making money is more important than serving God. You know, you need a job and you ought to have one. But if you could, it'd be nice if you'd try to make it so that your work schedule is church friendly. You ought to have a ministry to God. Pick a job that is church and ministry friendly. Wouldn't hurt you.
You know something else? This liar will tell you that you're not needed to contribute to the spring program. Someone else will reach one. Someone else will bring a neighbor. Someone else will bring a friend. Someone else will bring a coworker. Someone else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to bring a family member. I did it the last time. I've paid my dues. He's always trying to convince us it's somebody else that ought to do the good deed. Hey, are you saved? If you're not born again, he's lied to you for a long time, hasn't he? You don't think you have anything to worry about? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen to this preacher, you're going to die and go to hell. That's the truth. Lost people go to hell for all eternity. But you know what the devil said to you? You're all right. Don't listen to that preacher. Old-fashioned gospel preacher. Hellfire, brimstone, that's a thing of the past. That's what he says. You have plenty of time. There are many ways to get to heaven. Just pick one. That's not what that book says. That book says Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The devil comes to you and says, you're a good person. You can take, hey, you don't need to ask Christ to be your Savior. You're a good person. He's a liar, folks. He's a liar. He's a liar. He is good at it. There are people, listen to me, honestly, in the balcony on the lower floor, there are actually people in this room right now, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now get this, it's free. It was totally paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. All you got to do is ask for the free gift. And then He'll save you eternally. You'll go to heaven and live forever where there are streets of gold, no pain, no sorrow. Now you tell me, why haven't you done that? I guess somebody's got you duffed. Somebody's lying to you. See, we have a liar around the church. Don't let that liar destroy you. Don't let him destroy you. I don't want him to destroy me. I've told you about the biggest. Every head bowed, every eye closed.